reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus went off to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or of Tiberias, and a large crowd followed him, impressed by the signs he gave by curing the sick. Jesus climbed the hillside and sat down there with his disciples. It was shortly before the Jewish feast of Passover. Looking up, Jesus saw the crowds approaching and said to Philip, "Where can we buy some bread for these people to eat?" He only said this to test Philip. He himself knew exactly what he was going to do. Philip answered, 200 denarii would only buy enough to give them a small piece each. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, "There is a small boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what is that between so many?" Jesus said to them, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass there, and as many as 5,000 men sat down. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and gave them out to all who were sitting ready. He then did the same with the fish, giving out as much as was wanted. When they had eaten enough, he said to the disciples, "Pick up the pieces left over so that nothing gets wasted." So they picked them up, and filled 12 hampers with scraps left over from the meal of 5 barley loaves. The people, seeing the sign that he had given, said, "This really is a prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, who could see that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, escaped back to the hills by himself. It's often said that you are what you think you are. Well, that's not always true. If you think you're the President of the United States of America and no one else does, then you're not the President of the United States of America. Not just because it's a democracy, but because any kind of power of, in human terms, always works by a certain consensus. Even back in the Middle Ages, the king was king, the king ruled by a consensus which accepted the system as it stood. When this system started to break down in the 17th century in Great Britain, the result was a massive civil war. The lack of consensus led to war. And the system is broken down still further. But even now with democracy, there's a certain consensus that sustains the power. You are what people think you are. Jesus runs away from the crowd because they want to take him by force and make him king. It's not because he's running away from power. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He's running away from the false power, the power which would come from the consensus of the people. They think that Jesus is who they think he is. They don't see him as he truly is. And so they want to make him king. But Christ is already king, in a much more profound sense than any human being could ever be king or president or prime minister. His power comes from his nature. Through him all things were made. The bread and the fish which are multiplied are themselves a sign of the greater miracle of all creation. All it is. Christ is king by nature. He cannot be made king. And Christ too does renounce power. He does refuse earthly power. He refuses it because he's come to share power. He's come to share his kingly nature. He's come to share it with those who believe and hope and follow him. At the end of time, Christ is king without any ambiguity. He is indeed the ruler of all creation, even as humanity. But where we live, we are called to make a choice to share as best we can, if we really want to, in his kingship. And that sharing in the rule of Christ, the power of Christ, is of its nature hidden. We have our presidents, our kings, our prime ministers, our premiers, our leaders of the Politburo or whatever. We have our rulers, and we need to have people who can rule. We need order, we need organization, we need a sense of unity. But the true kingship exists in a much more hidden way. It exists with the people who care, who give themselves, who sacrifice. Of all the people in the story who were most like Christ in his kingship, it was a small boy carrying his 5 loaves and his 2 fish. His wholly inadequate contribution to the needs of the people, to the crowd. And Christ shows that this boy shares in his kingship by taking what he had, blessing it, making it part of his power, part of the power to share. When we die, we will see that there are many people, some who appeared successful, some who appeared powerful, but many more who were very hidden. Yet they are the true rulers of the world, the true people who shared in the kingship of Christ, the kingship of love, of sacrifice, of offering. One example is someone I never met, but here in Leicester, I still hear her name from time to time. She died in 1991. Her name was Mary Green, an Irish woman. And she used to do all sorts of little jobs for the priory, for the church. Many of her priories are people like that. We all know them, or know of them. One of the very significant stories, a story I've heard many times, is how she would clean the church at night. She would brush this rather large church using a simple brush with a torch strapped to the brush. The reason she did this was, despite the prior saying it wasn't necessary, was not to save lights, to save electricity. She wouldn't put the lights on in the church, she would just use this torch. Perhaps not the most rational thing, but a wonderful symbol. I've heard the story many times and I never find it difficult to pretend that this is the first time I've heard the story. It always sounds fresh, it always sounds very revealing. Everybody who knew her remembers her. Everybody speaks of her as almost like the archetype of the people who give some of their time, their effort, their life to the church and to the community. They are the true rulers of the world. And they are the true rulers of the world because they share in the kingship of Christ. It's not made by force. It's not made by consensus. It's not made by the crowd. It's made by sacrifice. It's made by love.